Good morning. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we praise you that you are faithful, loving, and compassionate God, desiring all to be saved through faith in your only Son, Jesus Christ alone. We pray for your Holy Spirit filling each one this morning, and your Spirit touching the heart of those who have not yet believe in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, to believe today. May you give me the clarity in speaking your words this morning. In Jesus' precious name, we pray. Amen. Amen. This morning, I'd like to speak on Zechariah 6:9-15 from the Old Testament, that the Lord commanded Zechariah to crown Joshua the priest. If you were in BSF Bible Study Fellowship this past year, you would have studied this passage. Zechariah is a prophet among the first wave of Jewish exiles returned to Jerusalem from Babylon at around 538 BC. This passage of Zechariah 6:9-15, written over 500 years before the birth of Christ, points to God's only Son, Jesus Christ, humanity's Savior. I'm speaking on a passage from the Old Testament, as all scriptures, both Old Testament and New Testament, was written by the prophets and apostles through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit to teach us all things spiritually. The scripture is sufficient for addressing and dealing with all spiritual matters. Romans 15:4, for whatever things were written before were written for our learning, and that we through the patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. 2 Timothy 3:16-17. All scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction of righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. So before we go into the passage of Zechariah 6:9-15, I would like to give a quick review of the history of Israel leading to this time that the first wave of the Jewish exiles returned to Jerusalem as a background for this passage. I have listed the key events of the brief history of Israel on this slide with some selected references that you can follow along. God chose Abram and later named Abraham by God, and God called him to leave Ur to a foreign land because God found his heart to be faithful before him. God made an unconditional covenant with him and gave him the land of Canaan. God's unconditional covenant does not depend on humans' actions or obedience. God's unconditional covenant to Abraham is found in Genesis 12. And I'll read from Genesis 12:2-3. God promised Abram that, I will make you a great nation, I'll bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Points to Jesus Christ, humanity's Savior, would come from Abraham, that all the people of the world will be blessed or be saved through him, through faith in him. Jacob, the son of Isaac, son of Abraham, later named Israel by God, and his 12 sons went to Egypt because of a great famine in the land. the 12 sons of Israel and their families, collectively known as Israel, lived in Egypt for 430 years and grew to a great multitude or number. Towards the end of that time, in Egypt, they were oppressed by the Egyptians, and God sent 10 plagues on Egypt and sent Moses to bring out 600,000 men, not counting women and children, out of the bondage of slavery of Egypt. God parted the Red Sea, allowing the Israelites to went through, but closed and wiped out the Egyptians chasing after the Israelites. The Israelites wandered in the desert for 40 years because of their sins against God. During these 40 years, God provided manna, bread from heaven, for the Israelites to eat and water from the rock to drink. God led them by the pillar of cloud during the day and the pillar of light during the night in the desert. At the end of the 40 years, God drove out the Canaanites and gave the Israelites the promised land, the land of Canaan, flowing with milk and honey. But the generation that came out of Egypt, except for Caleb and Joshua, perished in the desert and did not go into the promised land because they did not trust in God and his promise. When the Israelites were in the promised land, they failed to drive out the Canaanites completely as God commanded them to do. During this time, when the Israelites sinned against God, God would bring them up to be oppressed by the foreigners to teach them to return to God. And when they repented and cried out to God, God would show love and compassion for them and send judges to deliver them. In Judges 21:25, I read that in those days, there was no king in Israel. Everyone did what was right in his own eyes. During this period, about 180 years of the judges in Israel, roughly from 1200 to 2020 BC, the cycle of sin would repeat itself. That sin led to oppression allowed by God. Oppression led to repentance, and repentance led to deliverance. Then the Israelites asked for a king because they saw that other nations around them all had kings, even though God was their king, who provided for them and protected them. God gave them what they asked for, a human king. The first king was Saul, but he sinned against God. So God raised up David as a king over Israel. David wholeheartedly sought God and his call, a man after God's own heart. Even though he was not perfect, but when David was aware that he sinned, he would fully, truly repent. God also made an unconditional covenant to David, and through him, an everlasting dynasty will be established. And the Messiah, the promised deliverer of Israel, will come from him. During the reign of Rehoboam, the grandson of David, the nation of Israel was divided into two kingdoms, the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom, because of the sin of Solomon, David's son. King Solomon started well in his reign, following God like his father David did, but he took many wives and concubines from foreign nations. According to 1 Kings 11:3, he had 700 wives and 300 concubines. His many foreign wives led Solomon astray to worship foreign idols and sinned against God. God split Israel into two kingdoms. He gave Jeroboam 10 of the 12 tribes of Israel, and known as the northern kingdom. God promised Jeroboam that he would establish his kingdom on the condition that he would follow God's command. That is, this is the God's conditional covenant to Jeroboam rather than unconditional covenant of God to Abraham and David. I'll read from 1 Kings 11:37-38 about this conditional covenant from God to Jeroboam. So I will take you, and you shall reign over all your heart desires, and you shall be king over Israel. Then it shall be, if you heed all that I command you, walk in my ways, and do what is right in my sight, to keep my statutes and my commandments, as my servant David did, then I will be with you and build for you an enduring house as I built for David, and will give Israel to you. But our foolishness and not trusting in God's promise to him, Jeroboam set up two gold calves, one in Bethel and one in Dan, then for the people in his kingdom to worship, because he did not want his people to go up to Jerusalem in the southern kingdom to worship God and offer sacrifices in Jerusalem, because he feared that the people would show loyalty to Jeroboam again and leading to his downfall. His foolish action, not trusting fully in God, on God's promise, and trusting in his own reasoning, led the people astray and led the northern kingdom to sin in worshiping the golden calves, idols, against God's command. The northern kingdom of Israel, of Ephraim, had 19 kings, but none of the 19 kings were good kings or faithful kings. Even though God sent prophets to them to warn against the sins and to call them to repentance, the kings of the northern kingdom persistently rejected God's command. Therefore, God gave them up over to the Assyrians. And I read from 2 Kings 17:21-23, which summarizes this. For he had torn Israel from the house of David, and they made Jeroboam the son of Nebat king. Then Jeroboam drove Israel from following the Lord and made them commit a great sin. For the children of Israel walked in all the sins of Jeroboam, which he did. They did not depart from them until the Lord removed Israel out of his sight, as he had said by all his servants, the prophets. So Israel was carried away from their own land to Assyria, as it is to this day. And the southern kingdom had 20 kings, and with 8 kings described as good kings or faithful to God, and the other kings described as wicked, not faithful to God. The last kings of southern kingdom did not pay attention to the warnings of God's prophets to repent. Therefore, God also gave them up over to the Babylonians and the fall of Jerusalem. And you can read that in 2 Kings there in the reference 17 as well. If you're interested to study the kings of the two kingdoms, I know that our brother Carl Patel has written a book cross-referencing the different kings. If you're interested, you can speak to him. Dr. Carl Armading, in his message last year on November 16, he showed the following chronological order of the three waves of the Jewish exiles returning to Jerusalem. The first wave, return of the Jews to Jerusalem, is after 70 years of captivity and led by Zerubbabel under the reign of Cyrus, king of Persia, in 536 BC. And then the second wave was led by Ezra the priest. And then the third wave was led by Nehemiah, the third wave to rebuild the wall. Zechariah and Haggai were two prophets that God sent to encourage the first wave of the return Jewish exiles to Jerusalem to rebuild the temple, to encourage them in their work in rebuilding the temple. Zechariah wrote this book at around 520 BC, and Zechariah's ministry spanned approximately 3 years. So from this brief history of Israel, we learn that God is a faithful, loving, and compassionate God. He's faithful to his promises, his unconditional and conditional covenants. He showed love and compassion to his people. He brought the Israelites, the Jewish exiles, back to Jerusalem, the promised land. Now we go to the passage of Zechariah 6, 9 to 15, that the Lord commanded Zechariah to crown Joshua the high priest. From Israel, too, if you're interested, we learned that Joshua was a high priest and was among the approximately 50,000 Jewish exiles returned to Jerusalem, led by Zerubbabel, in the first wave of the return of the Jewish exiles, after 70 years captivity in Babylon. And let us now read Zechariah 6, 9 to 15 together. And I'm reading from the New King James Version. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, "Receive the gift from the captives, from Hildiah, Tobiah, and Jediah, who have come from Babylon, and go the same day and enter the house of Josiah, the son of Zephaniah. Take the silver and gold, make an elaborate crown and set it on the head of Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest. Then speak to him, saying, 'Thus says the Lord of hosts, saying, behold, the man whose name is a branch. From his place he shall branch out, and he shall build the temple of the Lord. Yes, he shall build the temple of the Lord. He shall bear the glory, and he shall sit and rule on his throne. So he shall be a priest on his throne, and the council of peace shall be between them both. Now the elaborate crown shall be for a memorial in the temple of the Lord for Hillam, Tobiah, Jediah, and Han, the son of Zephaniah. Even those from afar shall come and build the temple of the Lord. Then you shall know that the Lord of hosts has sent me to you. And this shall come to pass if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God.'" In verses 9 to 11, God instructed Zechariah the prophet to make an elaborate crown to put on Joshua's head. God spoke to Zechariah and asked him to receive the gift free will offering of silver and gold from Hildiah, meaning the Lord's world, Tobiah, meaning the world, the Lord is good, and Jediah, meaning the Lord knows, who were among the returned Jewish exiles to Jerusalem. And these three men were visiting Josiah in the house, in his house. They probably brought along this silver and gold from Babylon to help in the rebuilding of the temple. And God instructed Zechariah to make this elaborate crown from the silver and gold from these men and set it on the head of Josiah, or Joshua, the high priest. In the Old Testament, there's a clear distinction between the roles of the priest and the king. Priests are descendants of Aaron, Moses' brother. Kings are descendants of Judah and David. And there was no precedent in the Old Testament for a priest to be king. A king was definitely not to be a priest. And we can read this account in 2 Chronicles 26, 16, 19, that King Uzziah, who is considered to be a good king by many scholars, but out of pride, he went into the temple with a censer to burn incense, a holy task designated for the priest only. And we read from 2 Chronicles 26, 16 to 19. But when he was strong in his heart, was lifted up to his destruction, for he transgressed against the Lord his God by entering the temple of the Lord to burn incense on the altar of incense. So Azariah the priest went in after him, and with him were 80 priests of the Lord, valiant men. And they withstood King Uzziah and said to him, "It is not for you, Uzziah, to burn incense to the Lord, but for the priests, the sons of Aaron, who are consecrated to burn incense. Get out of the sanctuary, for you have trespassed. You shall have no honor from the Lord God." Then Uzziah became furious, and he had an incense in his hand to burn incense. He had a censer in his hand to burn incense. And while he was angry with the priest, leprosy broke out on his forehead before the priest in the house of the Lord and beside the incense of the altar. So God afflicted King Uzziah with leprosy for disregarding the sacredness and holiness of the priest's duties in worship. God commanded Zechariah to crown Joshua the high priest and not Zerubbabel, the governor of the Jewish exiles, and also a descendant of David, that many people would expect him to do. We'll learn that God commanded Zechariah to crown Joshua has prophetic meanings. In Zechariah 6, chapter 6, 12 to 13, God told Zechariah to give this prophetic message to Joshua. And you can read that on the screen here. "The man whose name is the branch," and in my Bible, the New King James Version is all capital letters, "will branch out and build a temple. The branch will bear the glory and shall sit and rule on his throne. The branch is both the priest and king, sitting on his throne. As a priest, the branch is able to give the counsel of peace or direction of peace. As a king, the branch has authority to rule over his people. The branch is a messianic title to the Messiah, the promised deliverer of the Jewish nation and also humanity's savior, Jesus Christ. The branch would refer to Jesus Christ being a branch of the olive tree representing Israel, I believe, that he shall branch out and build the temple of God. The branch is also a man, and we read that in verse 12, that behold, a man whose name is the branch. Jesus Christ is fully man, born of a virgin, a woman. And through him that the world is blessed. He is also fully God, conceived by the Holy Spirit, and he is the God, the Son. Olive tree represents Israel and is a symbol of peace and hope. Olive trees actually appear in the anthem of the state of Israel today. In Romans 11, 17, Paul spoke of the Gentile believers as the branches of a wild olive tree being grafted to a domestic olive tree, Israel. Romans 11, 17. "And if some of the branches were broken off, and you being a wild olive tree were grafted in among them, and with them became a partaker of the root and fatness of the olive tree." The branch is a prophecy of Jesus Christ, a branch of Israel, a Jew, a descendant of David, a descendant of Abraham, who will branch out to build a temple of the Lord. He shall sit and rule on his throne in the temple as a priest and king. Many agree that these verses point to the millennial temple when Jesus Christ will return and reign on earth for 1,000 years, when He will be sitting in his throne in the millennial temple as prophesied by Ezekiel in Ezekiel 40 to 48 and also Revelation 20. During this time, there will be peace and true justice under the reign of Jesus Christ, the priest king. In verse 14, we read that this elaborate crown is to be placed on Joshua. Then it was to be removed from his head and placed in the temple of the Lord as a memorial. A memorial is a reminder for the people of a person or an event. And we can also read from Zechariah 3:8. Hear, O Joshua, the high priest, you and your companions who sit before you, for they are a wondrous sign. For behold, I am bringing forth my servant, the branch. Zechariah 6:14 and also Zechariah 3:8 tell us that crowning of Joshua the priest is a symbolic sign. A sign is like a road sign, pointing to and giving direction to the destination. The sign itself is not the destination. The crowning of Joshua is a symbolic sign, prophetically pointing to the future Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ, the priest king. In verses 12 and 13, we read that the branch will build the temple of the Lord. And in verse 15, we also read that those from afar will come and build the temple of the Lord. Therefore, the temple not only refers to the millennial temple, but also refers to the church of all believers from afar, coming and building the temple. And let me elaborate on this. Jesus said these words in John 2:19-22, after he cleansed the temple, driving out the merchants who were selling oxen, sheep, and doves in the temple court. When the Jews asked Jesus, what sign do you show to us since you do these things? And Jesus said in John 2:19-22, Jesus answered and said to them, destroy this temple and in 3 days I will raise it up. Then the Jews said, it has taken 46 years to build this temple and you will raise it up in 3 days? But he was speaking of the temple of his body. Therefore, when he had risen from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this to them, and they believed the scripture and the word which Jesus has said. Jesus spoke of his resurrected body being the temple. The Bible tells us that believers make up the body of Christ, the church, with Christ being the head of the body of the church. We read in 1 Corinthians 12:12-14, for as a body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit, so we're all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. For in fact, the body is not one member, but many. Ephesians 5:23b, Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. The church is the body of Christ, consisting of all believers, Jews, Gentiles alike, from all nations, from afar, and from all social status, indwelt with the Holy Spirit, the living temple, the spiritual house of God. And Christ is the head of the body, the church. Jesus Christ is the Savior of the body. Ephesians 2:19-22. Now therefore, you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building, being fitted together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. Jesus Christ is the cornerstone, in whom all believers are built together into a dwelling place, a holy temple in the Lord, the body of Christ, in which God lives by his Holy Spirit. Jesus Christ, after he rose from the dead, he builds the temple, the church, the body of Christ, consisting of all believers from all nations, from afar, making up this holy temple. As believers, Jesus Christ is our priest king. We submit to Jesus Christ as our own Lord and Master and the rightful king, because he is God, the creator who has authority over all things. John 1:5. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. Colossians 1:16. For by him all things were created, that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created through him and for him. And Jesus said in Matthew 28:18b, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Jesus Christ is also the high priest of all believers. The Old Testament high priest had to offer sacrifices of animals without blemish to atone for his own sin and the sins of the people again and again. But Jesus Christ, as the great high priest and also as a man, as a high priest, he offered himself as the perfect atoning sacrifice, without sin, without blemish, to die on the cross to pay for the penalty of sins, which is death. For those who repent from their sins and believe in him and submit to him as Lord and Savior, priest and king. Hebrews 4:14-15. Seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast of our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Hebrews 9:11-15. But Christ came as high priest of the good things to come, with a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is not of this creation, but with the blood of goats and calves. But with his own blood he entered the most holy place once and for all, having obtained eternal redemption. We skip to verse 15 of Hebrews 9. And for this reason he is the mediator of the new covenant, by means of death, for the redemption of the transgression under the first covenant, that those who are called may receive the promise of eternal inheritance. Romans 8:34b. It is Christ who died, and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. He died for our sins, was buried, and rose from the dead on the third day. Furthermore, he is even seated at the right hand of God, making intercession for us. Jesus Christ is the high priest and the rightful king of all believers. 1 John 2:1b, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. An illustration here would be Jesus Christ being the priest king of all believers would be in the courtroom, that Jesus Christ is both the judge and our lawyer. As a judge, he has the authority to pronounce judgment about sin and wrongdoing. But as our lawyer, he would represent us and present our case to the judge for our penalty, for our sin. The penalty of our sin is death. But Jesus Christ, being the priest king, being our lawyer, he died on the cross for us. He paid for our penalty of our sins. So he presented us and he represents us, and he paid our penalty. In this world, if you hire a lawyer, you'll probably pay the lawyer to act on your behalf. But our Lord Jesus Christ paid the sin's price for us in our place. Praise God that Jesus Christ is the priest king of all believers. So the principle here is the crowning of Joshua, the priest, is a sign pointing to Jesus Christ, the priest king, to all believers, the body of Christ, indwelt with the Holy Spirit, the living temple or spiritual house of God. It is also a sign points to Jesus Christ, the priest king, who will sit and rule on his throne in the millennial temple during his reign on earth for 1,000 years, where there will be peace and righteous judgment on earth. So in summary, from the history of Israel, we can see that God is a faithful God. He provided for, protected his people, and delivered his people repeatedly when they repented and cried out to him. He is faithful to his covenants and promises. Through Jesus Christ, a Jew, a descendant of Abraham, a descendant of David, all nations will be blessed and be saved by repenting and believing in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. The crowning of Joshua the priest is a wondrous sign pointing to the wonderful Savior, Jesus Christ, the priest king of all believers, the body of Christ, indwelt with the Holy Spirit, a living temple, a spiritual house of God. The crowning of Joshua is also a sign pointing to Jesus Christ, the priest king, who will sit and rule on his throne in the millennial temple during his reign on earth for 1,000 years, where there will be peace and righteous judgment. From the history of Israel, we learn that the cycle of sins repeated again and again in Israel history, and the Old Testament priests had to offer up animal sacrifices to atone for the sins of the people, the Israelites. Praise God, our Lord Jesus Christ is the branch, the priest king. He came in flesh as a man and died on the cross to pay for the penalty of sin once and for all who believe in him and build a temple of the Lord. Jesus Christ, the man, whose name is the branch, came to this earth to give peace and hope to mankind. If you have not trusted in Jesus Christ, yet will you believe in him as your priest king today, so that you may also have peace and hope of entering into the promised land in the future, the new Jerusalem that will come, and to be with God forever and ever. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we praise you that you are faithful and loving and compassionate God. You so loved the world that you gave your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, as a priest king to give true peace and hope to all who believe in you. May your Spirit touch the hearts of those who have not trusted in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, as priest king today, who believe today, experience true peace and hope today. May the love of God, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit to be with us all. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.